Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, folks. It is a beautiful day. I was actually out at my favorite restaurant. This is Thursday. Had my men's breakfast, met with my pastor, and we were watching over the harbor. And I tell you what, you cannot go wrong. Living on a barrier island, being blessed, is phenomenal. And it's hard work because you're constantly having to serve other people and be thankful for what you've got. And it was perfect today because it goes right into John's 9th chapter in this great new book he's written, Everyone Communicates, Few Connect. It's written by John Maxwell. It was interesting because he put so much of this up on his blog, and he let people communicate, and he took people's input. He inspired people. And folks, I challenge you to go to johnmaxwellonleadership.com or johncmaxwell.com, I think is his personal site, and see what's there. See how this man's impacted my life. I was talking with Eric, my pastor, today, and commented to him on how even he impacts my life. Little nuggets. You know, we started our relationship 5 years ago. We were planting another church down here in the evening time, and I would go over to Shoreline in the mornings, and I built a relationship. But I had a lot of that church spiritual baggage, you know, that you take with you. And over 5 years, Eric has learned that he could trust me, learned that the questions that I asked were not questions to question his authority, but yet it was to make me a better person, a better follower, somebody that wanted to be under his authority. And, man, it's just great to see that. So when I'm reading John's chapter today, I thought, man, connectors inspire people. And as I looked at that and I studied it, you know, I thought this is true. He shares a story about Bill Hybel, the founder of Willow Creek, which at one time was the world's largest, or at least the United States' largest church. It's in Chicago. And this is what Bill said that John wrote. He said, how much does it really matter if someone is highly motivated in their work and in their life? Some of Bill's research on how much motivation really matters was astounding. Lots of studies that he read tossed around numbers like 40% or even higher when they compare performance in motivated employees versus non-employees. They said a 40% performance differential. That's staggering. Then he read one study that said motivated employees are 87% less likely to leave an organization compared to unmotivated employees. Now, I thought about that for a second. How are you in your life? You know, if motivation, if inspiration is a key factor on people sticking it out, ask yourself this question. This isn't in John's book, but this is his. He just brings thoughts up. You start thinking every chapter that you read when he writes. So think about this. If more marriages were motivated, if the focus was on motivating your spouse, how many divorces would be less? If parents were focused on motivating their kids in all areas of their life, could we shift the tide of teen deaths, teen pregnancies, teen runaways? Think about that for a second. In your own maybe network marketing organization, if motivation, if inspiration is the key to lowering your attrition rate, what could you do? How would your team impact the world? Maybe you run a brick and mortar store out here. Maybe you run a direct selling company or a pharmaceutical company. How much more volume in sales could you get with a motivated sales force? One of my good friends, BK Brieco, is constantly focused on motivating his troops from the top down. Another one of my friends, Dallin Larson, he does it a little different, but he motivates his troops by allowing his leaders to run their own type of organizations, their own systems in a free agency type deal. When I look at all this and I'm seeing it, I think, wow, you know, how much does motivation matter? John writes, there's no doubt about it. Everyone benefits from motivation. Everybody wants to be inspired. He says, as I look back on my life, I can see that my energy for my work has often been dependent upon the inspirational qualities of the person who led it. And I know that's true for me. You know, at 17, 18, 19 years old, I joined the Marine Corps. I'm out there. I'm wet behind the ears. my drill instructors motivated me in a very specific way. They tore down the outer shell. They tore down the ego. They created a little mush puppy, basically, teaching me that everything that I'd known in the past was basically wrong. Now, they were going to mold me into what they call the Marine. I look at the way I've raised my boys more than my girls, and I did the same thing. As they were coming up, I didn't have to squish them. I just had to raise them up to be men. And although my boys have all made choices that I would not be proud of, choices that I did not approve, choices that I would not want them to make, they made them with their head held high, doing it their way. And I looked at that and I said, you know what, I can be proud of the fact that I raised them to take responsibility. When they made a mistake, when they sinned, when they screwed up, they took that responsibility. But when we would get together and I would sit there and talk to them, I did not berate them. I did not tell them how stupid it was. I did not tell them how I didn't love them anymore. Instead, I praised them for different facts at different situations. They knew that I respected them as individuals. They knew that I loved them unconditionally. And they also knew when I was not proud of the actions that they took. Motivation is key. John says at the end, it all adds up to inspiration. He writes, for years I've studied leaders and speakers who inspired and connected with their people. When someone begins to communicate with others, the first thing people do is start asking questions at a subconscious level. They want to know what's in it for them. Folks, I don't care if you're in sales, if you're a doctor, if you're a lawyer, if you're a CPA. When you start to speak, whether it's one-on-one or in a group, people want to know what's in it for me. It's a subconscious thing. It's not that that's up front, that's what they want. Having sat through 10 years of the Catalyst Conference, one of the greatest conferences that John helped to facilitate in the early years, I have watched leaders that connect and leaders that don't. I've studied some of the greatest people out there. One leader in particular that inspires, his book has sold more copies than anything but the Bible. His name's Rick Warren. What some people call the little Hawaiian shirt doughboy of a preacher. He would get up on stage, flip-flops, jeans, and a Hawaiian flowered shirt. He'd have him pull up a big oversized leather chair and he'd sit down and he'd go, oh man, it's glad to be here and relax with you guys. He'd cross his legs and he'd start asking questions. He'd start sharing a little bit of inspiration. He would connect. He would inspire at a heart level. John writes in here that he has created what is known as the inspiration quotation. Write this down. I think this is powerful. It's something that I've already put on a 3x5 card. It says, what they know, plus what they see, plus what they feel, talking about your audience, equals inspiration. John says, when these factors come into play and a communicator is able to bring them into alignment, it creates a synergy that inspires people. And from that place of inspiration, you can often lead people to take action. If you're in sales, I don't care if you're selling door-to-door alarm systems, you're a high school kid selling books in the summertime, you're a professional information security consultant, helping businesses get into compliance with all these new federal security regulations. If you want people to take action, you need to know what they know. You need to understand what they see. You need to empathize and know what they feel so that you can inspire them to take action. You're not going to get this done with some rogue script that somebody created for you. It doesn't work that way. Every successful business person, we're going to talk about that here in a second, will tell you everything starts at a heart level. Let's start looking at John's quotient here, what people need to know. John writes, when non-connecting speakers think about what their listeners need to know, they focus on information. That's where these presentations come up. And gosh, guys, companies spend millions of dollars in putting their sales presentations together. When really it's already been written, you got to connect at the heart. See, the kicker is when you connect at the heart, people feel like you're on their side. They stop looking at you as just another salesperson. They stop looking at you as just another person trying to get in their back pocket. It's so important. Over the years, as I've read John's books, I've realized how many other great philosophers and teachers that I've grown accustomed to. I've got a book by Norman Geisler called Unshakable Foundations. He uses Aristotle's first principles. And I started laughing as I read this because John says the great philosopher Aristotle understood this and commented on it in the Rhetoric. He said, in the context of persuasion, he identified that the most important element as pathos, the communicator's ability to connect and with the feelings, desires, wishes, and fears and passions of their listeners. Listen to that. Aristotle, in Rhetoric, realized that the most important element is the communicator's ability to connect with the feelings, desires, wishes, fears, and passions of their listeners. Man, you gotta meditate on that for a second. If you will get inside the heart of the person you're trying to connect with or the organization you're trying to connect with, and you understand where they're coming from, the sky's the limit on where you can go. Second part, people need to know that you understand them and are focused on them. Now, I've said that for years in a different way. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. John writes, how inspired are you by people who appear to be concerned only about themselves? Probably not at all. I can't think of a single connector who doesn't care about his listeners. You know, folks, I'll tell you what. I live quite a unique life. I get to do just powerful coaching radio shows in the morning. I get to connect with some great CEOs through the day and do wonderful videos on their companies. But then usually somewhere along the day or somewhere during the week, we end up doing a little bit of advocacy work and trying to get the message out when we see something that just isn't right within the network marketing niche. We ask hard questions. We take on some controversial subjects. But no matter if we are agreed with or disagreed with, we're able to connect at the heart level with our viewers, our readers, and our listeners. It's not because I'm somebody great. It's because over the years, I've gone from being just a communicator, somebody that didn't care about people, somebody that only cared about himself, to realizing through my education in the Marine Corps that everything I do is about somebody else. Last night, I put up a very controversial video on MLM Help Desk, questioning some stories of an individual. Don't know his motive. But I questioned. And because this person has publicly come out and said that he's had family deaths and that he's dying of a terminal illness, some people said I shouldn't have said anything. I should have just let him go away. But see, one of the things that we learned in the Marine Corps is that when you see an injustice or a possible injustice, that you ask the hard questions, could this be true? Is this true? What do the facts show? Where does the evidence lead? It's not about what I say. It's about where does evidence lead. When I read John's books, it's not about what John's books say. It's about where does the evidence lead? See, when you apply what John has in his books, all of a sudden you realize your life has changed. I was sitting with my son the other day, and I'd been going through some old journals. There was a time in my life, because of my upbringing and because of some hurts that I had by women, that I just didn't trust females at all. Didn't want to be around them, didn't want to touch them. But through a growth process, through learning that people are a precious gift from God, to realize that the majority of people out there want to be just like me. They want their lives to change. They want to be somebody. They want to be motivated. They want to be inspired. They want to live a life that will change the world. I've changed everything. I've changed from being a self-centered individual, still have an ego that I have to work on all the time. But my heart is to help other people. That's why we do a radio show on the internet with no interruptions, so that we can get the information out of other people. It's not about what Troy says. It's about what John Maxwell, a proven leader of leaders, writes, and we're able to share through life experiences. It's funny. John writes this in here, and I found this interesting. He said, people who connect understand the same thing that actress Lisa Kirk knew when she said, a gossip is one who talks to you about others. A bore is one that talks to you about himself, and a brilliant conversationalist is one who talks to you about yourself. That's what connectors do. They tell you about yourself. They speak your inspirational language. John goes on, he writes this, leaders and speakers who understand this can make an impact on people's lives. Folks, our main priority each and every day should be to make an impact on people's lives. Somewhere. If we do that, the sky's the limit. See, when people know you care about them, that you're trying to understand them, that you want to help them, it makes a lasting impression. That's the key to what we do. That's the key to where we move forward. And see, to do that, here's what John writes, and I love this. He says, as you prepare to communicate with others, you must lead them, you must let them know that you understand them and want to help them. You must learn their inspirational language and speak it to them. How do you do that? Here's what you do. You ask questions. Isn't it funny how everything revolves in communication around questions? You've got to ask yourself, what are they thinking? Before you ever try to communicate, before you ever try to make a sales presentation, before you ever go out there and try to persuade them to do something else, motivate them to do something else, whatever you want to say. You need to find out as much as you can about them. If it's a person, if it's a business, it doesn't matter. If it's an organization you're going to be motivating, if it's a church service, you've got to know what they're thinking. John says, speakers too often have the attitude, this is what I think, sit down and listen. However, connectors have the attitude, I will sit down and listen before I share what I think. I train on that, and yet I still have people that disagree with that. The second thing, he said, you've got to know what people are saying. So you can't use your terminology, your words. You've got to go out there and learn what they're saying. You've got to know by having a good ear. John writes in here, good listeners are good, or good leaders are good listeners. To be most effective, they follow this pattern. Listen, learn, then lead. Good communicators act similarly. They listen to what the people are saying. They listen to how they're saying it. They even listen to what's not being said. We all have to do that. Next, what are they doing? See, this is the final question that you've got to ask yourself when you're watching these people. You've got to know from their body language. You've got to know from what they're doing, what their actions are. It's the only way to make it work. The next big one is people need to know that you have high expectations of them. And one of my heroes, even though I would have disagreed with his political ideology at the time, is President Lincoln. And he writes in here, President Abraham Lincoln, an incredible communicator, was known during the Civil War to attend a church not far from the White House on Wednesday nights. The preacher, Dr. Gurley, allowed the president to sit in the pastor's study with the door open just so he could hear, so he didn't have to interact with the crowd. One Wednesday evening, as Lincoln and a companion walked back to the White House after the sermon, the preacher's companion said, "What do you think of tonight's sermon?" Well, Lincoln responded, "It was brilliantly conceived, biblically relevant, and well presented." His companion said, "So it was a great sermon?" And Lincoln replied, "It failed. It failed because Dr. Gurley did not ask us to do something great. Inspiring communicators always expect a lot from their listeners." Every time I've watched John C. Maxwell walk across a stage, listen to him on an audio, watch him on a DVD, or read his books, he leaves me with a call to action. If you want to be a connector, you have to leave your listener with a call to action. If you connect at the heart level, when you ask them for whatever, they will follow. Steve Jobs, the co-founder of Apple, says this: management is about persuading people to do things they do not want to do, while leadership is about inspiring people to do things they never thought they could. As communicators, we must be leaders. As connectors, we have to understand that we're going to take it to a higher standard, and we're going to pull people up, as Art Williams likes to say. We're going to take them and we're going to push them. We're going to get underneath them. We're going to rise them up as high as we have to raise them up. Because when we do this, they will realize this is what they have to do. They will be inspired. John writes this, and I believe it at the deepest parts of my soul. He writes, I believe God created every person with value and incredible potential. But the other reason I do this is because I believe most of the time people respond to the expectations of others more than they do to themselves. And I'm a firm believer in that. I have watched my sons, my daughters, my wife do more when I give them encouragement, when I come alongside of them, when I support them, than anything else. I've watched tears come to my pastor's eyes when he realized he's had a group of men that were standing in the gap for him. I've watched teenage kids, when they realized, I just love you for who you are, willing to take that next step and get their lives together and become great adults, married, wonderful children. Folks, when you inspire others, you expect more from them, and they realize that, and they will live up to that expectation. See, I believe that when you go that direction, the sky's the limit. People need to know. You need to know what people see. What are they seeing? Listen to this. Most people decide very quickly whether they will continue listening to you or simply turn off and stop paying attention. Often they make this decision based on what they see. Their perception begins at a surface level. Do you look pleasant? You know, one of the most controversial things I do is have an American flag behind every one of my videos. I love this country. I love the men and women that have fought and died for this country. I've served for this country. But yet I have people that will say, get rid of the American flag, it's controversial. And I just smile. See, I believe that sometimes connectors are controversial. But people want to know you have confidence, that you have conviction. See, when people see that you have conviction, they will follow. Larry Phelps commented, there's a noticeable difference between steel and tin, especially when hit. Genuine heartfelt convictions simply come across as words of steel. There is a determined resolve in the tone. As communicators, we need to be reminded that we cannot fake convictions. The audience will always discern the difference between words of steel and the sound of tin, no matter how hard the tin is hit. You have to have conviction. In the words of Aaron Tippin, the great country music philosopher, you've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. I believe that is true as a connector and a communicator. People need to see your credibility. You know, I have some people sometimes, and it's funny to listen because I will put up a blog post. We will look at a company. Maybe we'll put it under our scam alerts. And based on the facts at that moment, based on what we're seeing, based on the red flags that are there, we list those companies and we share that information. We ask some hard questions. If those companies change, if those companies communicate with us, if those companies share inside information that shows us that, hey, we did do this, but now we're growing, we've got new attorneys, we got something, and we move them over into a different category, it's amazing to me how many people will say, you're wishy-washy. I don't know if I can trust you. And I laugh. Because, see, credibility is standing firm on where the evidence leads. It's standing firm and saying, you know what, I was wrong on this, or you know what, the facts have changed on this, but this is where I'm going. Credibility is walking your walk, not just talking the talk. It's admitting, it's being transparent, it's being authentic. It's allowing your listeners, your audience, to understand I am human. Listen to this. When people trust you, they will listen to you, and they will be open to being inspired by you. If you're a one-time speaker, people will often give you the benefit of the doubt as long as your credentials are good. But if you're going to speak to the same people time and time again, you have to work on maintaining credibility. If you have a team, then you've got to be open with them. There's this old saying in network marketing that says, take negatives up and positives down. Overall, I'll agree with that. Not everybody are able to deal with the negative sometimes that is happening in a company or in an economy. But I can tell you this. If you're open and honest with your team, if you're open and honest with your customers, if you're willing to make changes and admit screw-ups when they happen, you'll watch your attrition rate go down. You'll watch your business flourish even in a down economy. Because people need to see your credibility. People need to see evidence of your character. It goes back to the fact that you have to stand for something. People have to know that no matter what, you have values. And you stand by those values. One thing that I try to do that you don't see very many people in my niche, the MLM industry, do, is I try to answer every comment that is personally directed at me. Good, bad, or indifferent. Because if nothing else, I want to leave a little bit of an impression in that person's life that I listened, I understood, I did agree or I disagreed, but at least I responded back. I was not rude. I let those comments go. I take the hits over on Facebook and my other social profiles. I love the praises. Those are always good, build you up, but it's the fact that people know the character. Mediocre teachers, John writes this in here, mediocre teachers tell, good teachers explain. Great teachers demonstrate. I believe that one of the things that set us apart is our ability to demonstrate that we will listen and that we would be a proponent of the freedom of speech. To let people say their voice even when we disagree. That's what allows people to understand that you really do care about them. That you really do want to see them change. One of the things John writes is you need to know what people feel. Listen to this. Making sure people know what they need to know is important for inspiring others. So is making sure they see what they need to see. But the most important factor to the inspiration equation is what they feel. If you leave that part out, you don't help people feel what they need to feel. And if you don't do that, they'll never be inspired. Folks, that's what makes this book so good. John Maxwell's book, Everyone Communicates, Few Connect. What effective people do differently. This is so important. People will not always remember what you say or what you did, but they will always remember how you made them feel. There is no doubt in my mind that Art no clue who I am at all. But what makes it great is that I remember how he makes me feel every time. See, that's what John Maxwell does for me. I know that John would know my face and shake my hand and might even remember my name. But what most is important is I know how he makes me feel and how my life has changed because John C. Maxwell took a chance a long, long time ago and started writing books. He realized that God had a calling on his life. He wanted to change the world. He launched an organization called Equip. That he could help raise up 1 million leaders. Today, over 3 million leaders worldwide have been raised up because people have said, we want to help, John. If you want to help people, then you got to let them know these things. This is important. Number one, do I believe what I say? Number two, has it changed me personally? Number three, that it will help others. And number four, have I seen it change others? When I do a training, when I pick a book, one of the things that I try to do is ask those four questions that John has. Because I believe when you do that, the sky's the limit. There's no way to get through everything in this chapter. It's so powerful and it's so big. You need to go buy the book. There's so much more to cover. Tomorrow we're going to be on chapter 10, Connectors Live What They Communicate. It's powerful. Folks, live life like it's an epic adventure. Make sure today that you connect with one person, that you impact their life, that you make a difference. Folks, have a fantastic day. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning on Radio for Your Mind. Bye.
Questions?